Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We're in our series right now called Devoted. Come on. So get your Bibles out, lean forward, let's get into this. We're focusing and zoning in on the early church right now. And last week just talked about the strength of devotion and that God calls us to spur one another on and encourage one another towards what it means to be devoted to Jesus. We're all called to be devoted to Jesus. In the early church, in Acts 2:42, says that they devoted themselves. And it was interesting that there's four things that are labeled here: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of the bread, and prayer. And so just a little heads up that this is going to be a scripture heavy message, because we're talking about the apostles' teaching today. And so what was the apostles' teaching, you might ask? Well, it was brand new. Jesus had just died on the cross, and then he rose again, and he revealed himself to the apostles. And he went to heaven and sent, on the day of Pentecost, sent the Holy Spirit, which is Christ, in all of us. But not only that, the gospel, which just used to be God's people being the Jews, now had expanded to all peoples all around the world. So this is exciting. I mean, everything's changed. And then the presentation that what Jesus did on the cross, that this is for you and I, so that we can be in relationship with God, that we can have the forgiveness of sins. And that's the good news. And so this is an invitation and a call for people to turn away from sin, to repent, which is a beautiful thing, and then to get baptized in the faith and ultimately live transformed lives. Somebody say change. Transformation, transformed lives, like clothed with Jesus and the character of God, and to live out of this place where we just live like Christians, like sons and daughters of God, where we live above every circumstance, and it's just so exciting. And so this is all brand new, and the apostles are going for it and teaching the church, and people are leaning in. People are devoted to this. And so I want to talk about the word of God from 1 Thessalonians. So why don't you find that in your Bible? And this is where Paul's very first letter to the early church. This is the first letter that Paul wrote down, and he's basically equipping the early church with what it's all about, and it's an encouragement letter. And so he encourages these recent converts how to follow the apostles' teaching, or how to approach the Bible. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 13, let's go there. "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." So basically Paul's saying, I'll do anything for you guys, because that's the approach. "And encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So, I mean, this is what C3 Connect Groups is all about, is encouraging one another, comforting one another, and urging one another on in the things of God. You know, I just heard about one of the following Jesus Connect Groups this past week, where somebody was invited by a coworker to check out C3 online and join one of the following Jesus groups. And this person gave their life to Jesus and now is learning how to be devoted to Christ through the following Jesus group and hasn't attended any service online. This is the church being the church. This is us being devoted and helping one another in the word of God. It's encouraging. And it's comforting, and it's urging. You and I need encouragement. We did this last week. Let's spur one another on again in encouragement. Why don't you just pick someone out online right now and in the chat, just encourage them. And make your encouragement specific, like be very specific. Just shout them out, encourage them. And that's incredible. And Paul's, the Thessalonian letter was comforting the church because they were under immense persecution, because the apostles' teaching is that Jesus was king, but Jesus was crucified because of that very same confession. And so the church that were believing that were being persecuted, and Paul saying, man, I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. The way you're doing this and what you're believing and what you're running for and what you're placing your faith in is awesome. The fact that Jesus is king, and he's urging them on in their character before God. So I thank God for all our connect groups. Come on. I love all our connect groups. I love all the connect group leaders. And you should text one of your connect group leaders right now and just tell them that they're awesome. So let's get to the meat of it. And we also thank God continually. So this is Paul writing in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians. When you received, somebody say receive. When you received the word of God, which you heard, somebody say heard, from us, which you heard from us, you accepted. Say accepted. There's key words here. Received, heard, accepted it, not as human word, but as it actually is the word of God. Not as human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work at you who believe. And that's the last key word. So there's receive, there is accept, there is heard, and there's believe. And so receiving God's word the right way promotes transformation in our lives. I know many of us would say we love change, but maybe COVID has given us a good example of how much we actually don't like change. And so I'm just basing this off the assumption that you and I, we want more of Christ in our world, that you and I want to be transformed. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ and to be more like him and to live more like him. And so receiving God's word correctly, the how, invites that transformation. Transformation isn't guaranteed because you have a Bible on your nightstand. Transformation isn't guaranteed because you memorized a verse from the Bible. It's more about how. Paul's saying, I thank you that you received the word of God, but not just that you received the word of God, but how you received the word of God. Have you ever wondered why the Bible's just not working in my life? Have you ever wondered why, I don't know, like I kind of go to church and I hear things from the Bible and I go to Connect Group and sometimes they talk about the Bible, but is there a gap of frustration where you might know maybe a promise from the Bible, but you haven't seen the fulfillment of the promise, and so you're wondering, I don't know what to do with this frustration. Why doesn't God's word work? Well, that's a great question. And I think that that question should drive us to like how we approach God's scripture, how we approach the scripture. And so I remember when the Bible really came alive for me. I mean, like where the Bible stopped just being like a bunch of stories and a few motivational quotes, you know, like where there was this story of like, you know, Adam and Eve, and there was like a flood, and there was like a something about a lion's thing that a guy, you know, and there was like a shepherd that killed like a real big dude with a massive sword and a slingshot, and there was like a Noah Ark deal and some parting of the ocean, and then, you know, so every now and then when I go over to friends' houses, I see some quotes on the back of their toilet door, and like, you know, I think, okay, you know, I get it, that's from the Bible, but I remember when it changed, where it was more than that. Like, I mean, this thing came alive, and I remember running around and just grabbing people, like, and calling people and just telling, like, man, did you know that this was in the Bible? Like, have you read this? Like, do you know this story and how crazy it is? Like, I remember when the Bible turned from just being bread to becoming like the living word, to becoming living bread in my life, like where it was really like working, where I started studying it and started receiving from it, and I found that this thing just it became like electric in my world. Like there was like a revival of my understanding of what the Holy Scripture was about, and it changed everything for me. It absolutely revolutionized the way I read scripture. And you're like, Sam, well, that's great for you. Like, I'm not experiencing that. Well, that's the point of why I'm preaching this today. The devotion to scripture, your devotion to the word, it's like how we treat something determines what we benefit from it. So it says here, when you receive the word of God that you heard from us. Number one, hearing the word builds our faith. Hearing the word builds our faith. The principle of hearing the word builds our faith. There's a famous scripture from Romans 10:17 that says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And I just want to encourage all of us in every one of our connect groups that, you know, you might set out like a bit of a smorgasbord with some bread or some crackers or you know, I don't know what you put out, some M&Ms. But when we come to connect group, we shouldn't just put out, you know, bread or put out a setting or what are we putting out before people? We should put out the word of God, because the Bible says in Matthew 4 verse 4, it says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Life doesn't come from giving someone else good advice. Life doesn't come from sharing opinion at Connect Group. Life comes when we open up the pages of Scripture and when we speak the Word of God to one another, there is something that rises on the inside of our spirit the Bible labels faith. And when we are going through whatever it is that we're going through in our life, I want to tell you that you and I need this mode of faith. That there is so much that our ears on board through the day, but They don't increase faith in our world. There is so much that we hear. If faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, it's very important that we understand that faith doesn't come by hearing many other things. And I don't know if that when we go over to one another's house or when we interact with one another, that we're always leaving feeling more built up than before, filled with faith than before, because just because we're hearing something doesn't mean we're left better. I mean, there is so much news going around. Like when you get these Amber Alerts on your phone, and all of a sudden your phone and there's Amber Alerts, and then I turn on the news and there's a problem here. There's the Californian fires. I see, man, there's another death. There is another black person that has just died at the hands of injustice, and there's this and that and the other. And when you're onboarding all this stuff, and I know that it's real out there, but then all of a sudden you feel completely depleted with faith. Well, you're in good company. We were never meant to live our lives on boarding the hearing of just everything that is said. We are meant to build our lives by hearing the word of God, and it's revealing to us will build our faith in Jesus Christ. And there ought to be a but God. Somebody type that. Somebody say but God. There ought to be a big God but inside every connect group. When you go to Connect Group, there ought to be, when you present the Word of God, it ought to be like, yeah, but God. Like, have we considered what it says in God's Word? Can we open up the Bible? And a scripture that might really appeal to somebody in this time is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says this, it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but, somebody say but. But not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That would be a great verse to not just memorize, but to meditate in, to digest it, to dissect every single word and think to yourself, man, I feel hard pressed, but I'm not crushed. And then you just start getting so electric on the things that God has put in his scripture for our benefit. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but, somebody say but. We got to share this stuff in our connect groups. We got to share this stuff on phone calls, on text messages. I see a revival coming where the word of God comes alive in the church again, where no longer we leave our Bibles closed until we attend church on Sunday, where no longer we leave our Bibles closed until we come and hit a problem, but we are in the word day and night. And the Bible says that when Joshua was like this, he faced the world strong and courageous. And this is what was happening with the Thessalonians, is they were under persecution. They were very discouraged. And Paul used God's word to encourage the early church. It encouraged them, it comforted them, and it urged them on. Matthew 7:24 says this, anyone who hears, somebody say hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man that builds his house on a rock. You will be unshakable in any season when you build your life from hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. It's as simple as that. So number one is hearing the word of God builds our faith. Number two is accepting the word's authority causes it or makes it effective. Accepting, somebody say accepted. See, in society right now is we don't approach or treat the Bible for what it really is. We diminish it down to just a book, letters written on a page, just some historical novel. And then, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living, is alive, and is active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing and the division of soul and spirit. What other text has the power to do that? Of the joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible is amazing. And why is it that one person can sit in church treating the Bible like just a letter, and the person next to them can see it like it's the most powerful book known to humanity? Why is that? What's going on here? Well, I want to try and diagnose this a little bit. I want to try and dissect this a little bit. That many don't accept the word for what it really is. Like, and we see that. You accept it in Thessalonians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13. It says, you accepted it not as human word, but what it actually is, the word of God. Okay, so if we don't see God for who he is, who he really is, we won't accept his word for the power and authority that it actually has. If we don't see God for who he really is, we won't accept his word for the power and authority that it, there's the key right there, is how we see God. I remember this time, it's a funny story, it's a bit embarrassing actually, but arrived at Sydney Airport and the baggage carousel area was like empty. It was weird. Like certain time of the day, there was like no flights coming in, and it was just me standing there waiting for my bags, and there was these four other guys just standing there as well. And you know, I was bored and we were waiting for our bags and they weren't really coming. So I just sparked up a conversation with these guys, and so, you know, here's me just talking, whatever. And I don't know, I can't even remember what I was telling them, but then, you know, just out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone like take a photo of us, and I'm like, oh, that's a bit weird. You know, maybe someone recognized me as being a C3 pastor. I mean, like maybe I'm famous or something, I don't know. And then but then as I'm leaving, like, and we all get our bags, then these two humongous bodyguards come over and start walking with this group of four people. And I'm like, oh man, like, you know, me, I don't know who these guys are, but whatever. We go out, the whole lobby area of the airport is packed with thousands of teenagers with flowers and balloons and signs, and they're screaming and cheering. And I'm like walking out going, what? So I messaged Jess. I was traveling to Australia by myself at this trip. I messaged Jess back home and I'm like, hey, you know, I took a sneaky photo, and I'm like, who are these guys? And she's like, she messaged back, laughing face, honey, that's One Direction. Like, that's Harry Styles. Like here's me having a chat, and maybe if I knew who I was talking to in the moment, I might have valued that moment. I might have valued those words at a greater value if I had known who they were. Like, but here's me just unawares, not knowing who I'm talking to, not valuing the words or the moment or the experience that I was currently being had that apparently the rest of the world knew. Okay, so embarrassing, whatever. And so, but Matthew says it like this in Matthew 10, verse 41, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. It's only when we only value what a person says at the same level of authority that we give that person. And the problem with tall poppy syndrome is when we want to reduce every human as the same, or we want to reduce every person that's notable as the same, it actually can be to our ill benefit. Like we just finished a renovation, and one of the things you do when you get a permit is you get an engineer to look at the foundation and to get the foundations right. And this is an excruciatingly expensive process. Now, this engineer, they stamp the drawings, and this stamp is valuable, and they tell you how to build the house. Now, wouldn't it be so foolish of me to say, you know what, I don't want to pay that price. I don't want to acknowledge that credibility. So I don't care about that stamp. I'm going to build the house however I want to build the house. And then all of a sudden there would be cracks in the house, and God forbid the house would fall down. When we don't recognize the credibility that's actually there, and we don't value the authority of somebody that when we don't value God's authority, let's not get surprised when cracks form in our life. Or when the house that we build is actually a house on sand, because we don't see God for who he is. So you've got to take it a step further. The engineer has credibility. So what? Here's where the world doesn't see God for who he is you might ask, well, what's God's credibility? Well, the Bible talks about this too, because when you see God's credibility, you will see God for who he is. When you see God for who he is, you will value his word for what it is. When you value his word for what it is, it will transform your life in how it can. And so John 1 says this, God's credibility is creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, the Word, all things were made. And without him, the Word, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and the light was the light to all mankind. Creation, the Bible says, is that we are without excuse when we see creation. So it's like the principles of evolution and the teaching and that doctrine to remove God from his credibility means that we diminish God's authority. When we diminish God's authority, we don't see his word for what it is, because we believe Genesis 1 is fable. We believe that we can't reconcile it. So now, and this is the enemy's trick, is if we can pull that out and extract that out, then we don't get the benefit of God's promise. This is how the thief comes to steal and rob from our lives when it comes to the Word of God. So we need to believe the God of the universe. We need to approach it with that you have a creator. You have a creator, and this creator wants personal relationship with you. He didn't just create the universe just for the sake of it. He wants relationship with you, and there are promises in his Word. I told you this was going to be scripture heavy, but I think we need it. I think we need to zone right in on exactly what the word is talking about here. All what I'm saying is illustrated, and the way that our current society sees the word of God is illustrated in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says this, okay? Ready? Follow with me. This is my second letter to you, Peter's saying. Dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago, prophets like Isaiah, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles' teaching. I want to remind you of this. He says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, or in the days of 2020, or in the days of Toronto, like the city of Toronto or the nation of Canada, in the last days that scoffers will come, mocking the truth, mocking the Bible and those that believe it, following their own desires. They will say, they will try and discredit a promise from God. They will say, what happened to the promise of Jesus coming again? What happens with this whole second coming thing? Because we haven't seen it. And then he says, from before times, our ancestors and everything remained the same as since the world was first created. And this is the enemy's trick, even with Adam and Eve, is the enemy wants to discredit that God can fulfill his promise. If he can do that, then he renders his promises false. If he renders his promises false, he renders the word of God as redundant. And so this is what the mockers are saying. It's like, I don't know, you guys keep talking about this whole second coming thing. I don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. The word of God, it's all fake or whatever. But then God says this in verse 5, key verse. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by his word, John 1:1, by his word of his command. And he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. By his word, then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with the mighty flood. That's the story of Noah. Verse 7, and by the same word, the present heavens and earth will be stored up for fire, and they are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. God's word is powerful. God's credibility is creation. Like when we see it like this and we approach it with We approach God's word like it's the creator of the universe speaking deep into the division of our soul and spirit. When we get these revelations, then all of a sudden transformation starts to take place. They received it, they heard it, they accepted it, and they believed it. They believed it. Every single one of us was created by God. And when we get a grip of this in our life, what I see happening in all of our Connect groups and what I see happening across C3 Toronto, what I see happening in your life is a revival of the love of Scripture, a revival of the love of the Word of God, teaching each other, sharing with one another, the exchange of the word, getting excited, being devoted to the apostles' teaching. I see it coming alive in our lives. I see that what's going to happen is that God's plan for you and I will start to come to pass in a whole expedited, a whole new and a whole fresh way. God's word is true. It's living. It's the life bread. We cannot live by anything else but the word of God. Awesome. So I just want to speak to every person out there, and I just want to say, listen, if you don't know that God created you, He created you. And that He created you for a plan and a purpose. And that He's trying to reveal Himself to you. And if you're watching this and you've never made a decision to follow God, well, that is what the apostles were talking about. Is all we need to do is believe in our heart what Jesus did on the cross for us. And then we know that we can turn away from the life that once was and we can take a hold of new life in Jesus. That is what the gospel is about. That's why we're doing Love Toronto every day, is we want to make sure that the city know the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus died for you, and I want to invite you right now to accept this message in your heart, to start to see your life change and transform in all amazing ways, and to live your life out of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, this is the most important decision that you will ever make. This is what our church is all about, that you would have an opportunity to receive this message. So if that's you, well, we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. But before we do that, I want you to just click on that link, the raise your hand button on the side of the screen. I want you to say, Sam, you know, before heaven, I want you to indicate that this is you praying this prayer, and just repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I thank you for the apostles' teaching. I thank you that you died on a cross to save me, to set me free, and to give me relationship with God in heaven. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn from that life. Help me follow you as Savior and Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.